بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فإن الله عز وجل فرض الخلق لعبادته كما قال سبحانه وتعالى: وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون، ما أريد منهم من رزق وما أريد أن يطعمون، إن الله هو الرزاق ذو القوة المتين. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. قال سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون، الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء أخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم، فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. ومن هذه الآيات يتبين أن الله خلق الخلق لعبادته، لم يخلقهم بشيء سوى ذلك. فأصل الوظيفة التي خلق لها الإنسان أن يعبد الله وحده لا شريك له، أن يعبد الله وحده دون سواه. والعبادة لا تعرف إلا من طريق الرسل، فمن زعم أنه يعرف العبادة من غير طريق الرسل فقد ضل وأضل، كما حصل لأصحاب الطرق الصوفية وأمثالهم الذين يقولون أنهم يلتقون بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، أو أنه يلتقي أحدهم بالله، وهذا كله من حيل الشياطين. الشيطان يتمثل كهذا الإنسان فيزعم له أنه رسول الله، أو يتمثل أيضا فيزعم له أنه الله، ربما يلقي عليه شيئا يزعم له بأنه عبادة وهو ليس كذلك. فالعبادة لا تعرف إلا من طريق الرسل الذين أرسلهم الله عز وجل إلى الناس في هذه الدنيا. والرسالات بدأت من نوح وانتهت بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد بسط الله عز وجل لنا أخبار الرسل وأخبار أممهم التي كذبت وعوقبت، أخبار هؤلاء قد بسطها الله عز وجل في كتابه، وأخبر أنه ما بعث رسولا إلا وأنه يأمره بعبادة الله وحده. ولقد بعثنا في كل أمة رسولا أن اعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. وأخبر الله عز وجل في مقام التفصيل أنه ما من رسول يرسل إلا وهو يقول لقومه: يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. الرسل بينوا صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم، وبلغوا الرسالات إلى الأمم، ومن الأمم من تقبل تلك الرسالات ومن كذب وعوقب. فلهذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عندما أرسله الله أوحى إليه الخمس الآيات الأولى من سورة إقرأ، وأوحى إليه فاتحة المدثر: يا أيها المدثر قم فأنذر ربك فكبر وثيابك فطهر والرجز فاهجر ولا تمنن تستكثر ولربك فاصبر. أمر الله عز وجل الرسول بإبلاغ الرسالة إلى الناس، أمره أن يدعوهم إلى عبادة الله وحده. فماذا قال له قومه حين قال لهم: يا قوم قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا، قولوا لا إله إلا الله كلمة تملكون بها العجم وتدين لكم بها العرب؟ قالوا: أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدا إن هذا لشيء عجاب. وحصل بينه وبينهم من الحوار والمناقشات والخصام ما حصل، ثم بقي على هذا 10 سنين لا يأمر أحدا بشيء غير التوحيد، يقول للناس: اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. وهكذا حتى أسري به إلى بيت المقدس، وعرج به إلى السماء، وفرض الله عليه الصلوات الخمس بعد 10 سنين من بدء الرسالة. ثم بعد ذلك أمر الناس بالصلاة، وهكذا بقي 3 سنوات لا يأمر أحدا بشيء غير التوحيد والصلاة، حتى هاجر إلى المدينة، وبعد هجرته استقر في المدينة. ثم أوحى إليه ربه سبحانه وتعالى بسائر الفرائض كالصوم والزكاة والحج وما أشبه ذلك، وتحريم الفواحش وبر الوالدين وما إلى ذلك. هذا كله إنما حصل بعد قدومه صلى الله عليه وسلم للمدينة، وظل القرآن يتنزل عليه بالأحكام الشرعية شيئا فشيئا.
ترجم الشيخ.
إذن الذي يجب هو البدء بالتوحيد، الذي يجب هو البدء بالتوحيد.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Just to inform the brothers, alhamdulillah, we have the lecture this afternoon with our beloved Sheikh, the Allama, Sheikh Ahmed bin Yahya al-Najmi, حفظه المولى ورعاه. And Sheikh Yahya, or Sheikh Ahmed, is no doubt referred to and known as the Mufti of the Junub, the Mufti of the area wherein the Sheikh resides, which is the area of Samita, in a place called Jizan, which is on the borders of Yemen. And the Sheikh is no doubt from the older of the Shuyukh of the Mamlaka Al-Arabiya Saudiya, somewhere in the region of 89 years old. And the Sheikh is going to address us concerning Tawheed and At-Tamassuk Bi-Sunnah, concerning At-Tawheed, the importance of Tawheed and clinging to the Sunnah. So after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Sheikh began by saying that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created the creation for the purpose of worshipping Him. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that indeed I have not created the jinn or mankind except to worship me. I do not want them from them any provision, neither do I want from them that they provide me with food. Indeed, Allah is the provider, the possessor of power and might. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ, that indeed they were not commanded except to worship Allah, having sincerity in the religion, and that is the upright religion. And he mentions likewise the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O people, worship Allah your Lord. O people, worship your Lord who created you and created those who came before you, that perhaps you may receive piety. And he mentions that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore we recognize that Allah Azza wa Jal from these verses has explained to us that He has created the creation for His worship, and He did not create them for anything other than that. So He mentioned that the original wadifa, or the original job and duty of mankind, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and none other than Him. And the ibadah and the worship is not known except by way of the prophets. So whoever claims that he knows worship and he knows ibadah upon other than the path of the messengers, then indeed he is astray, leading others astray. Like those who claim that they, like the people of Sufiya, who claim that they met, or that they have met the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or that they, or one of them, yani some of their leaders, that they have meetings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt, indeed the shaitan inspires them, and the shaitan presents himself to them in the form of a messenger and claims that he is a messenger to them, or that he presents himself and represents himself to them in the form of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealing to him, or manifesting to them, or mentioning to them affairs that they claim is ibadah that they have taken from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the affair is not so. So the ibadah therefore is not known illa an tariq ar-rusul, is not known except by way of the messengers, and it is they who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to the creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the akhbar of the rusul, about the affairs that have come to us by way of, or that come to us concerning the messengers. And he has mentioned that which has occurred concerning their da'wah and their call, and the stories that took place in regards to them. So there was no messenger, as we have been informed in the book of Allah, there is no messenger that was sent except that he was commanded to call the people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا, that indeed we have sent in every ummah a messenger saying, worship Allah and stay away from the false deities. Likewise, he mentions the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ, that indeed we did not send before you a messenger, except that we revealed to him that there is no Lord worthy of worship except me, therefore worship me. So Allah Azza wa Jal has explained في مقام التفصيل, in regards to, in a detailed manner, And in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained in detail, that every single one of the messengers, when they came, all of them came saying to their messengers, or saying to their people, Afwan, Ya qawmi ibudullah, O my people, worship Allah, you have no God except Him. So he explained that which the messengers were given, and that which the messengers conveyed from their messengership and their prophethood, and the fact that every single one of them called the people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No doubt from them, there were those who were disbelieved. And from them, those individuals who disbelieved, there were those who were punished for their disbelief. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sent him, no doubt, with the first few ayat from Surah Iqra, from the Surah Iqra, Surah Al-Alaq. And likewise, he sent him with the first few verses from Surah Al-Mudathir. Ya ayyuhal Mudathir, O you wrapped up in your garment, Qum fa'anzir, arise and warn, wa rabbaka fakabbir, and your Lord extol, yani make him great and extol him, wa thiyabaka fatahhir, and purify your garment, wa rujza fahjur, and stay away from all of those affairs that are evil. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that are يعني, filthy and impure. So Allah Azza wa Jal sent the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with these first few ayat conveying the risala and conveying the prophethood and the message to the people. And he was commanded likewise to call them to the da'wah and call them to the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Call them to the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And he would say to the people, Ya qawmi, قولوا لا إله إلا الله. O my people, say لا إله إلا الله. تفلحوا, and you will be indeed successful. So he mentioned likewise the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that their response to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that they used to say, أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدا إن هذا لشيء عجاب. Is it that they have made the آلهة? Is it that they have made the gods all one God? Indeed, this is something that is very amazing. So there is something that, and there are affairs that we have informed of, or that Allah has informed us of, from the munaqashat, and from the debates, and from the arguments that used to take place between the messenger and the people who were present at his time. He remained for 10 years calling to Tawheed, calling to nothing other than the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and then he was commanded, or he was taken from his house in Mecca, and he was taken by night to the Baytul Maqdis in Jerusalem, and then he was taken into the skies where he was given the Salawatul Khams, the 5 daily prayers were made wajib upon him. Then after that, yani, and this was something, Ikhwan, that the Sheikh is mentioning, took place after a period of 10 years, 10 years of nothing but calling to Allah. And then the messenger was commanded with salah. Then he remained for 5 more years, not being commanded with anything other than tawheed and salah. He remained for 5 more years, not being commanded with anything other than tawheed and salah. And then the rest of the fara'id came down, the fasting, the zakah, the hajj, making the fawahish and lewdness haram, birrul walidain, being good to the parents, and so on. All of that came, as the Sheikh mentioned, all of that came after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken on that night journey, and after he made hijrah to Al-Madinah. Thereon after, we found after the Messenger called for that long period of time that he was given those affairs of the Sharia, but that was after, no doubt, he began his call with nothing other than Tawheed.
أقول إذا علمنا أن العبادة التي أمر الله عز وجل بها لا تعرف إلا من قبل الرسل صلوات الله وسلامه عليهم الذين جعلهم الله وسائط بينهم وبين خلقه قصة جبريل. جبريل يبلغ الرسل والرسل يبلغون قومهم. إذن فالعبادة لا بد أن تؤخذ من قبل الرسل صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. وفي شريعتنا لا تؤخذ إلا من طريق نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم، إذ أن كل باب إلى الجنة فهو مسدود، وكل باب إلى الله فهو مسدود، إلا باب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فعليك يا عبد الله أن تتعلم التوحيد من كتاب الله عز وجل القرآن. وما أكثر ما تحدث القرآن عن التوحيد، كذلك أيضا سنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وستعلم حينئذ أن التوحيد هو أساس العبادة وأساس الدين، فلا تقبل العبادة إلا بالتوحيد. فمن عبد الله وحده صحت عبادته، ومن عبد الله عز وجل وعبد معه فإن عبادته مردودة. الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول لنبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم: ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك فإن أشركت لأحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين. فإذا كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هدد بهذا فغيره من باب أولى. النبي الذي هو أكرم العباد على الله وأقربهم إليه وسيلة وأعلاهم عنده جاء، لو حصل منه الشرك لحبط عمله، فكيف بغيره؟ فيا عبد الله اعلم أن العبادة لا تقبل إلا بأن تكون خالصة لله عز وجل دون سواه. فمتى أشركت وخلطت مع عبادة الله عبادة غيره فإن عملك يكون مردودا وحابطا. وفي الحديث القدسي أن الله عز وجل يقول: أنا أغنى الشركاء عن الشرك، من عمل عملا أشرك معي فيه غيره تركته وشركه. إذن فيجب علينا أن نطهر أنفسنا من الشرك صغيره وكبيره. الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول في كتابه، يقول: الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون. ولما نزلت هذه الآية جاء أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إليه وقالوا: يا رسول الله، كلفنا من الأعمال وعملنا وقد كلفنا ما لا نطيق، أو كما نحو هذا. قال: ماذاك؟ قالوا: نزل عليك قول الله سبحانه وتعالى: الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أينا لم يظلم نفسه. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنه ليس الذي تذهبون إليه، وإنما المراد بذلك الشرك، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألم تسمعوا إلى لقمان وهو يعظ ابنه فقال: يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم. إذن الشرك هو موجب لهبوط العمل، والشرك هو موجب لرده، والشرك هو موجب للخلود في النار. والله سبحانه وتعالى يقول على لسان عيسى عليه السلام أنه قال: يا بني إسرائيل اعبدوا الله ربي وربكم، إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. الله سبحانه وتعالى أخبرنا أنه يغفر الذنوب جميعا إلا الشرك فإنه لا يغفر. قال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. فيا عبد الله، حذر نفسك من الشرك بالله، وصفي عبدك من الشرك بالله، فإن عمل المشرك حابط وعمله مردود، محرم عليه دخول الجنة، ومحتم عليه الخلود في النار، ومحرم عليه المغفرة. فإياك أن تموت وأنت مشركا، وعليك أن توحد حتى يقبل الله أعمالك، وحتى يغفر ذنبك، وحتى يدخلك الجنة وينجيك من النار. نعم، تترجمون؟
نعم يا شيخ. So he mentioned therefore that which is upon us is that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh mentioned that the worship that Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us with is not known except by way of the messengers. The messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a wasa'it, or has made as mediators between himself and between his creation. Those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to them, they are mediators. He reveals to Jibreel, and then Jibreel conveys to those messengers, and they convey to their people. Therefore the shara'i', all of those legislations, are not taken except by way of the messengers. And similarly, our sharia and our legislation is not taken except by way of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Shaykh mentioned that every bab and every door towards Allah is masdood. Every door towards Allah is shut, except the door of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani except by going towards Allah by way of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, therefore it is upon you, ya Abdullah, O servant of Allah, it is upon you to learn at Tawheed, that you study at Tawheed, and that you learn that that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in his Quran. And Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded, and the majority of the Quran has in it a command and speech concerning at-tawheed, or a call to tawheed, the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and likewise the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you see that and you recognize that, you will see therefore that the origin of the acceptability, or the origin of ibadah, is at-tawheed, or the foundation of ibadah is tawheed. He said likewise that the deen is not accepted, yani the religion, a person's religion and a person's ibadah is not accepted except with at-tawheed. A person's ibadah is not accepted except by way of tawheed, the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, the messenger, or Allah Azza wa Jal, has said to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ that indeed it has been revealed to you and to those who came before you that if you were to commit shirk, then your deeds would be nullified and you would be from amongst the losers. So if we find here that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was addressed with the likes of this verse, was addressed, the Messenger who was the closest of the people to Allah Azza wa Jal, and those who were the best in the ibadah to Allah, if we see that he was addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it was mentioned to him that if there come to him anything from shirk, that his deeds would be nullified, then anyone lesser than him, it goes without saying. How is the case, therefore, with the one that is lesser than the Messenger? It goes without saying that if there comes from them something concern or something from shirk, then that likewise would be the case with them. Therefore, he said it is imperative that the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for any act of worship to be accepted, no act of worship is accepted except that it is khalisa, except that it is sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you worship alongside Allah other than him, or you make shirk with Allah in regards to an act of worship, someone other than Allah, then know that the act is marduda, the act of ibadah is rejected. And indeed the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us, as occurs in that hadith Qudsi, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jal has said that I am aghna ash-shuraka, yani shirk, I am the least in need of anyone ascribing a partner to me. Whoever associates a partner to me in an act of worship, then I leave him and that partner that he has associated with me. Therefore, it is a must upon us that we free ourselves from shirk, whether that be a large amount of shirk or a small amount of that. And indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla likewise has said, those الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبَسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, those who believe and do not cover their iman with ظلم, with oppression. So when the Sahaba, when the verse was revealed, the Sahaba, they came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed we have been commissioned with acts of worship that we have carried out, but we have now been commissioned with something that we are not able to carry out. So the Messenger asked them, and what is that? And they recited the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who believe and do not cover their iman with zulm, they said, indeed we are not able, who from us is able to carry out the likes of this? Yani to remove oppression or transgression in any form or any shape or form. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he turned to them in response, saying, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ الَّذِي تَذْهَبُ إِلَيْهِ, that indeed it is not that which you hold, or it is not that which you perceive. Indeed the intent with that is shirk. Do you not hear the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal to Luqman, or the statement of Luqman alayhi salatu salam to his son when he said, Oh my son, do not la tushrik billah, do not commit shirk with Allah. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, for indeed shirk is the greatest oppression. So he said, therefore, that it is a must that our actions, in order for us to remove ourselves from the hellfire, and in order for us to remove ourselves from that punishment, it is a must that we free our actions from any type of shirk. Likewise, he mentioned the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which occurred upon the tongue of Isa, which was the statement of Isa that Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us of. He mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, اِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ, indeed the one that commits shirk with Allah, then Allah has made the Jannah haram upon him. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ, and his destination is the Nar, and the ظالمين, or the oppressors, they will have no helpers. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us likewise of the fact that the only sin, or the one sin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive, for Allah azza wa jal forgives all sin, but the one sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive is a shirk, is that a person makes a partner, ascribes a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرْ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. That indeed Allah will not forgive that shirk is made with him, but he will forgive the sins that are lesser than that. Therefore, it is upon us that we are caught, we are aware, and we are weary in regards to ourselves from shirk, and that we distance ourselves from making shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the one who does so, his actions are rejected. Jannah is haram for him, and there is nothing for him other than the hellfire. And likewise, maghfirah, or forgiveness, is haram for him. There is no forgiveness for that individual. Therefore, it is upon you to cling to tawheed, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your actions, and so that you may enter Jannah. تفضل يا شيخ.
ثم إن الشرك ينقسم إلى قسمين، شرك أكبر مخرج من الملة موجب للخلود في النار يوجب هبوط العمل ويوجب عدم المغفرة، فهذا الشرك الأكبر هو أن يدعو العبد مع الله إله آخر، لأن يطلب منه جلب نفع أو دفع ضر لا يقدر عليه إلا الله جل وعلا. ومن دعا مع الله إلها آخر يطلب منه جلب النفع أو دفع الضر معتقدا فيه القدرة على ذلك، فإنه قد حبط عمله إن كان له عمل صالح، ووجب عليه الخلود في النار وحرمت عليه الجنة. سمعتم الأذان من عندكم؟
كيف يا شيخ؟
سمعتم الأذان من عندكم؟
إيه نعم.
هذا اللي ما تسمعون. آه الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول: ومن يدعو مع الله إلها آخر لا برهان له به فإنما حسابه عند ربه إنه لا يفلح الكافرون. فسمى الله من دعا غيره كافرا، فقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين أي ذليلين. وفي سورة فاطر ذكر الله عز وجل تمارج من خلقه ثم قال في آخر ذلك: الذين تدعون من دونه ما يملكون من قطمير إن تدعوهم لا يسمعوا دعاءكم ولو سمعوا ما استجابوا لكم ويوم القيامة يكفرون بشرككم فلا ينبئك مثل خبير. وكذلك في آيات أخرى أخبر الله عز وجل بأن المشركين لا تنفعهم عبادتهم ولا تنفعهم أعمالهم، ولو أن لأحدهم ملء الأرض ذهبا لم يفتد به. أيا إخوة، إني أدعوكم وأنصحكم بالتوحيد أن تحرصوا عليه وأن تتعرفوا على الشرك الذي ينافي التوحيد وعلى الشرك الذي يخدشه وينقصه. فالتوحيد لا يكون توحيدا إلا إذا كان لا يكون توحيدا كاملا إلا إذا كان سليما من الشرك صغيره وكبيره صغيره وكبيره. فهناك أقسام من الشرك لا تخرج من الإسلام ولكنها تنقص التوحيد وتخدجه. فمثلا الحلف بغير الله عز وجل هذا لا يكون من الشرك الأكبر إلا إذا عظم الحالف غير الله عز وجل أكثر من تعظيمه لله، فإنه في هذه الحالة أو مثل تعظيمه لله فإنه في هذه الحالة يكون من الشرك الأكبر. أما الحلف الذي يجري على اللسان ولا يكون الإنسان معتقدا فيه قدرة المحلوف به على ما لا يقدر عليه إلا الله فإنه في هذه الحالة يكون من الشرك الأصغر. وفي أول الإسلام كان المسلمون يحلفون بغير الله عز وجل أحيانا بل وكثيرا قبل أن ينهى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ذلك. فأولا قال لهم: إذا أخطأ الإنسان منكم فحلف باللات والعزى فليكن يقول لا إله إلا الله، وثانيا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن الحلف بغير الله، نهى عنه نهي بات حيث كان في سفر فسمع عمر بن الخطاب يقول ورأس أبي، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحلفوا بآبائكم، من كان حالفا فليحلف بالله أو ليسكت. قال عمر رضي الله عنه فوالله ما حلفت بها جادا ولا آثرا. حينئذ نفهم أن الحلف بغير الله يكون من الشرك الأصغر لا من الشرك الأكبر. كذلك الرياء ينقسم إلى قسمين، باعث على العمل وعارض في العمل. فالباعث على العمل هو رياء المنافقين، إذا كان الإنسان يريد أن يرائي عمل وإن لم يكن فإنه لا يعمل. فمن يصلي إذا كان مع الناس، فإذا كان وحده لا يصلي، هذا من الشرك الأكبر. قال الله عن المنافقين فإذا قاموا إلى الصلاة قاموا كسالى يراؤون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. هذا يسمى رياء باعث على العمل، لكن العارض للعمل عندما يعمل الإنسان عملا ويعرض له الشيطان فيلخر في نفسه العجب أو ما أشبه ذلك، فإنه في هذه الحالة يكون الرياء عارض في العمل، عارضا في العمل، فلا يوجب الخروج من الإسلام، بل يبقى الإنسان مسلما. كذلك إسناد النعم، إسناد النعم لا ينبغي أن تسند إلى غير الله، فقد علمنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن نقول لولا الله ثم فلان لكذا وكذا، ولا يجوز أن نقول أن لولا الله وفلان. إذا قلت لولا الله وفلان فقد شركته مع الله، وحينئذ تكون قد حصل منك الشرك الأصغر. وهكذا أشياء من الشرك الأصغر الدقيقة أيضا، وهو التطير والاسترقاء وما أشبه ذلك، كل هذا من الشرك الأصغر الذي لا يخرج من الإسلام ولا يحبط العمل ولا يخلد في النار ولا يوجب عدم المغفرة. وقد يختلف بالشرك الأصغر، هل هو مثل الكبائر يعني يعاقب صاحبه ويكون نهايته إلى الجنة، أو أنه يكون معرضا للمغفرة ولا يحصل عليه عقاب أحيانا ويكون تحت المشيئة مثل الكبائر؟ هذا قول الجمهور. وقال بعض أهل العلم تمشيا مع الآية إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء، قال بعض أهل العلم أن الشرك الأصغر لا يغفر بل يعاقب صاحبه، ولكن بعد ذلك تكون نهايته إلى الجنة. فالذي أوصيكم به التعرف على ما ينافق الشرك، على ما ينافق التوحيد من الشرك وما ينقصه، وعليكم بقراءة كتاب التوحيد للشيخ محمد ابن عبد الوهاب، اقرؤوه واتقنوه. وكذلك ايضا توحيد الاسماء والصفات، وان نصف الله عز وجل بما وصف به نفسه وبما وصفه به رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعتقد الفرق بين صفة الله وصفة غيره. فصفة المخلوق لائقة به، وصفة الخالق لائقة به. فمثلا إذا قلنا، إذا وصفنا الإنسان بأنه حي، ووصفنا الله بأنه حي، فالحياة الإنسان كحياة الرب سبحانه وتعالى؟ الجواب لا. فحياة الرب قديمة بلا ابتداء وباقية بلا انتهاء، لا يطرأ عليها النقص بأي وجه من الوجوه. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، إلى آخر الآية. لكن حياة الإنسان هي في الاسم مطابقة لحياة الله عز وجل، حاء ويا وألف وتاء مربوطة بعدها، أو حي كذلك. إذن الاتفاق في الأسماء لا يوجب الاتفاق في الحقائق. وحياة المخلوق سبقت بالعدم وأتبعت بالفناء، فلذلك هي لا تكون مثل حياة الله عز وجل. كذلك أيضا حياة المخلوق لا تبقى إلا بإبقاء الله لها. فمن قدر الله أن حياته تتوقف على الطعام والشراب كالجن والإنس، هؤلاء حياتهم لا بد فيها من وجود الطعام والشراب والنوم والراحة، فإن تفاوتوا في ذلك. أما الملائكة فليسوا كذلك، بل حياتهم وإن كانت قد سبقت بالعدم فسيتبعها الفناء. حينما قال الله عز وجل، حينما يأتي تأويل قول الله تعالى، كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام، إذا سيموت الناس جميعا، والله سبحانه وتعالى حي لا يموت. عندئذ يطوي السماوات بيمينه والأراضين بيده الأخرى، ثم يهزهن فيقول أنا الملك أنا الملك، أين الجبارون أين المتكبرون، لمن الملك اليوم، لله الواحد القهار. السماوات مع ضخامتها وعظمها حينئذ يطويها الله عز وجل كطي السجل، يعني كطي الورق. قال الله عز وجل يوم نطوي السماء كطي السجل للكتب، وقال سبحانه وتعالى والسماوات مطويات بيمينه. فبعد أن ينفخ إسرافيل في الصور ويموت جميع الناس، لا يبقى أحد أيضا، لا من الملائكة ولا من المخلوقين، جميعا فحينئذ يأتي تأويل كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك بالجلال والإكرام. أسأل الله أن يوفق الجميع لما يحب ويرضى. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.
جزاكم الله خير يا شيخنا. شيخنا يوجد مجال لسؤال واحد فقط.
طيب احنا معنا ال
نعم يا شيخ عارف
الآن حصل
هو جزء
كيف هذا سؤال واحد
جزء من سؤال يا شيخ الحلف بالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ما الواجب على المسلم فعله إذا كان يحلف بالنبي حبا له؟
ما يجوز. نعم. حتى ولو كان حبا له لا يجوز الحلف بالنبي ولا بجبريل ولا بأحد من المخلوقين، لا يجوز هذا أبدا. عليك يا عبد الله أن تحلف بالله الذي خلقه، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هو مخلوق فضله الله عز وجل بالرسالة. وإن كنت تحب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صادقا انظر إلى سنته واتبعه، قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم.
أحسن الله عليكم، جزاكم الله خير يا شيخنا.
وإياكم.
بارك الله فيكم.
حفظكم الله.
وإياكم يا شيخ. السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم.
السلام
عليكم. So the Shaykh continues that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, so whoever calls upon other than Allah, he has no proof for that. And indeed his hisab or his reckoning is with his Lord. Indeed the kafirun will not be successful. So Allah azza wa jal has named the one who calls upon other than Allah a kafir. Just as occurs in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord has said, call upon me, I will answer you. And indeed, those who are too proud to call upon me or to worship me, they will enter Jahannam forever. So he mentions, likewise, the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who yadu'una, alladhina yadu'una min dunihi, the statement of Allah azza wa jal in Surah Al-Fatir, that those who call upon other than him, لا يملكون من قطمير. Those who call upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those individuals who are called upon, they do not possess even a qitmir. And the qitmir is the skin that covers the date seed. We have a date seed, that skin that يعني you peel off and get rid of, just as you get rid of date seed as well. That skin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that those who call upon other than Allah, those individuals who they call upon, they don't possess even the qitmir, even that film that surrounds the date seed. Allah azza wa jal continues, if they call upon them, then they will not hear their call. And even if they heard, then they will not be able to answer them. And yawm al-qiyamati yakfuruna, and the day of judgment, they will reject and disbelieve in their shirk, yani they will reject those individuals who called upon them. And Allah mentions, وَلَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٍ, and no one will inform you like the one who is acquainted with that. Yani referring to himself. Na'am. So the Shaykh mentioned, therefore, O my brothers, indeed I call you therefore to learn and to study and become acquainted with Tawheed. And likewise that you acquaint yourselves with shirk, and that you know that shirk is of two types. Shirkun akbar, major shirk, that a person leaves al-Islam by way of it, and the one who is upon it, it will enter the fire forever, and that it nullifies the actions. Likewise, he is not able, or he does, the one who is upon it does not receive maghfirah, does not receive forgiveness. And then he mentions, that is that a person calls upon, the abd calls upon an individual besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one calls upon Allah, calls upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that a person seeks from other than Allah that which no one but Allah is able to carry out. That a person seeks from other than Allah, that which no one but Allah Azza wa Jal is able to carry out. So whoever calls alongside Allah another God, then indeed seeking from that God, whoever calls upon beside Allah another God, seeking from him to bring about some good or to repel some evil, then that individual, no doubt, his actions will be nullified. If he believes in that calling upon that other God brings about some good or repels some evil, then his actions will be nullified. And upon him is that he will be in the hellfire forever, and likewise that Allah Azza wa Jal has made Jannah haram for him. That Allah Azza wa Jal has made Jannah haram for him. Therefore, it is a must that you acquaint yourselves with shirk, and you acquaint yourselves with that which opposes tawheed, or that which makes, or that which lessens one's tawheed. So he mentions that the tawheed, therefore, a person's tawheed, is not complete until he protects it from a shirk, until he protects it and removes a shirk from it. He mentioned some manifestations of minor shirk. He said examples of that is to swear by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To swear by other than Allah. He said that in and of itself is not major shirk. But indeed it is a great affair to swear by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said that if the person who swears by other than Allah glorifies or deems great and tremendous and extols the one that he swears by, he extols him more than he extols Allah, or like the manner in which he extols Allah and glorifies Allah, then that in that case it becomes major shirk. That if the person swears by other than Allah and he glorifies that individual or that thing similar to the way or to the manner in which he glorifies Allah and extols Allah or more than it, then that no doubt then becomes major shirk, even though in its origin swearing by other than Allah is minor shirk. Na'am. So he said, so the one who makes a oath, which is another manifestation of taking an oath, that is the oath that commonly occurs on the tongues of some of the people. And a person does not believe in the oath, but it is just a statement that is made. Then that in and of itself is considered shirk asghar. It is not considered shirkun akbar. And the Shaykh mentioned that was something that happened in the beginning of al-Islam, that some of the companions used to swear by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were not prohibited from doing so, and they continued to do that until the prohibition came for them from doing such an action. And on an occasion when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard Umar radiallahu anhu swearing by other than Allah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do not swear by other than Allah. Whoever is going to swear, then let him swear by Allah or remain silent." Similarly, another manifestation of minor shirk is al-riya. Is al-riya, and that is that one does things to be seen of the people. He mentioned that riya is of two types. The riya that is ba'ithun anil amal. The riya that is done, or ba'ithun lil amal. The riya that of a person who manifests riya, or sorry, he manifests an action, he does an action solely to be seen. That he does an action solely to be seen, and that is the action of the munafiqun. That the munafiqun, they did not carry out the acts of ibadah and the righteous actions, except that the people would see them. And if the people didn't see them, then they wouldn't carry out those acts of righteousness. That no doubt is the actions of, or the riya of the munafiqun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning them and their salah, يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That they carry out those affairs and those actions for the people to see, and they don't remember Allah except a little. But the Shaykh mentions, if a person carries out, or if a person does an action, he does an action for Allah, but because of the presence of an individual, he beautifies that, then that is minor shirk, and that riya is not the type of riya that exits a person from al-Islam. Likewise, he mentions to attribute blessings to Allah and to other than Allah. Like saying, If it were not for Allah, he mentioned it is permissible, for instance, for a person to say, if it were not for Allah and then for you, if it were not for Allah and then for you, then such and such. But it is not permissible for a person to say, if it were not for Allah and you, or worse, if it were not for you and Allah. That for a person to make a statement like that, that in and of itself is not permissible. It is considered shirk, but it is considered minor shirk. Likewise, the Sheikh mentioned the affair of at-tatayyur, to believe in superstitions and so on. That likewise is from minor shirk, and affairs of that nature, all of those affairs the scholars have mentioned, being affairs and manifestations of minor shirk, but a person, if he does so, he does not exit al-Islam. And the people have differed concerning minor shirk and the ruling of minor shirk and the recompense of the one who practices that. He mentions that some of them have likened it to the kaba'ir, to the major sins, and have deemed it from the greatest of the major sins, and that the one who does so, then he is tahta al-mashi'ah, that he is beneath the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah wills, then he will punish him, and if Allah wills, then he will forgive him. And that is the statement and the position of the jamhur, the vast majority of the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah. And some of the scholars, some of Ahlul Ilm, they say that shirkun asghar, Allah Azza wa Jal does not forgive it. That minor shirk, Allah Azza wa Jal does not forgive that. And that is a position of some of the scholars, that Allah Azza wa Jal does not forgive minor shirk. The person who is upon it, then he will be punished for that. He will be punished for it, but ultimately he will enter al-Jannah. So again, the Shaykh mentioned the scholars differ concerning minor shirk. Some of them likening that to the major sin, and that is the vast majority of the scholars. Therefore, the one who does so, he is below and beneath the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah wills, he'll punish him. If Allah wills, he'll forgive him. And some of the scholars, they hold that minor shirk would not be forgiven. Just as they utilize the general statement of Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرْ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ, that indeed Allah will not forgive that shirk is made with him, but he will forgive the sins, any sin that is less than that, to whomsoever he pleases. They use that general hadith and include minor shirk in that, but they say that the person who commits minor shirk, he will be punished for that minor shirk, but ultimately he will enter al-Jannah. Now, so then he mentions, therefore it is upon you to study these affairs, shirk, and study at Tawheed. And he mentioned, it is upon you likewise to study the likes of the book, Kitab al-Tawheed, of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, and that you study likewise the topic of al-Asma'i wa-Sifat, the topic of the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is that you describe Allah as he has described himself, and as his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have described him. So if we were to describe, for instance, insan, or an individual, by saying that he is alive, and we were to say likewise that Allah Azza wa Jal is alive, then we say that the hayah, or the hayat, or the life of insan, or the life of mankind, is other than the life of Allah Azza wa Jal. That the life of Allah and the life of mankind is not one and the same. Rather, the life of Allah is different from the life of mankind. And he mentions the statement of Allah, bringing the proof for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his sifat and from his characteristics, is that he has he is al-hay, or from his names and characteristics, is that he is al-hay. He mentions Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum. So he mentions, therefore, we affirm for Allah that he is al-hay. But he mentioned that the hayat of insan, the hayat of mankind, is in accordance and is in relation to the hayat of Allah only in the ism, only in with the name. Yani that the names are one and the same. That man have hayat, man have life, and likewise that Allah Azza wa Jal has life. But the only thing that they share is the ism. The only thing that they share is the name. As for the manifestation of that as it relates to Allah Azza wa Jal, the Shaykh mentions the only thing that we have, that the two haya have in common, is the name. So he said, as for the ha and the ya and the alif and the ta, all of that is no doubt one and the same. When we say hayatul insan and hayatullah, both of them are the same. The word itself is the same. But the Shaykh mentions the haqa'iq, or the reality of that is not the same as it relates to the creation, the creation of Allah, the creation, the life of mankind was preceded with absence. The life of mankind was preceded with absence. And it is subject to becoming, or subject to fana, or subject to finishing. And he mentioned, but the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one that was not preceded with absence, and it does not finish. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal will remain subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentions that which is related to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, kullu ma alayha fan, that everything that is upon it, yani upon the earth, will cease to exist. وَيَبْقَى, and the face of Allah Dhul Jalali wal Ikram will remain. So he mentioned that that is the case as it relates to the Day of Judgment, when Allah Azza wa Jal will, yani, when everything will be destroyed upon the blowing of the horn, when everything will be destroyed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will roll up the heavens and the earth in his hand, and he will say, an al-malik, that I am the king, where are the haughty ones today? Where are the haughty ones today? So he mentioned likewise the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, as-samawatu matwiyatun biyamini, that the heavens and the earth are rolled up in his right hand. So that is from the manifestations of the name of Allah Al-Haya, that on that day when everything is destroyed and the life of everything is taken, Allah Azza wa Jal will roll up the heavens and the earth, and nothing and no one but Allah Azza wa Jal will remain. And Allah will say, where are the haughty ones today? So then he mentions all of that occurring after Allah, after the surah, or after the horn is blown into, and everything, all of the people will die. That is when we see the manifestation of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kullu ma alayha fan, that everything that is upon earth will be destroyed. And upon that note, the Shaykh rounded up his lecture. And then a question was asked concerning drawing, or concerning swearing by the Messenger of Allah. If a person does so just out of love for the Messenger, and he swears by the Messenger of Allah just out of love for him, nothing else, is it permissible to do so? Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Shaykh hafidhahullah said that to swear by other than Allah is not permissible, and to swear by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if it is only out of love for him, that is not permissible. That he mentions, he said that indeed the makhluk, or the creation, it is not permissible to swear by any of the creation. And if you truly love the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the Shaykh said it is upon you to follow his sunnah. If you truly love the Messenger, and don't swear by him, follow his sunnah, as Allah Azza wa Jal has said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَاغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Say, if you love Allah, then follow me, yani follow the Messenger, and Allah will love you and forgive you your sins, and Allah is Al-Ghafoor, Al-Rahim. And on that note, the Shaykh rounded up. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَبَارَكُ عَلَى نَبِيْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.